Embodied carbon is the idea of tracking the energy that it takes to extract, process, transport, and then insert into the building a material. And so when we build things, we try to take that into account because the amount of energy that it takes to produce all of that contributes upfront loads of energy that contribute to climate change right now.
You guys were talking about green home design. So what exactly makes a green home?
Green home generally comprises three elements: energy, environmental quality, and resource conservation. So for energy, we're looking to get as close to net zero energy as we possibly can. For environmental quality, we're looking to create a non-toxic home, both inside the house with good indoor air quality, and also to make sure that we're not polluting the larger environment in the creation of the house. And then lastly, with resource conservation, we're looking to make sure that we're not cutting down the forest in order to build our house.
And something that Scott touched upon in his presentation really well was that a green home isn't the same in Colorado that it might be in the Mediterranean, or it's very local specific. So knowing your local climate determines what makes your home green.
So Frank, you were talking about the things that builders that don't want to train their workers into doing certain things, what they can do. So what are the things that the builders can do?
Well, a big issue with building with natural materials is that they're not typically very scalable. So it's hard to build a large straw bale home efficiently unless you panelize it, do SIPS forms, something like that. So there are certain aspects of natural building that can be scaled. It's just a matter of how do we not have to retrain everyone on every aspect of the job. So if we can use existing machinery and mechanisms, as well as existing knowledge in the workforce to use more natural building materials, then that allows us to continue to push the edge of what's available.
And I guess my last question would be, are there misconceptions with the green home industry that you guys would like to dispel?
One thing that I like to talk about is trusting new materials. So if I told you that I have this plant-based material that we can use as the structure for our buildings, but it can grow mold, it warps, it cracks, it checks, would you want to use it? Maybe not. But then if I told you that that was a 2x4, you'd be like, oh my gosh, we've been using those for so long. And it's because we came up with standards to know how to kiln dry them. We know how to store them properly. We know how to use them. We learned that over time. And so when people say that, oh, a straw bale grows mold, or, you know, something of that nature, it's not necessarily true if you know how to work with it and you know how to use it. So trusting materials takes time and effort, and you have to educate yourself on it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it can't be used properly.
For me, I would say that the primary misconception is that green is ugly. When I started working in the green building industry 25 years ago, the general idea was if you wanted an environmentally friendly home, it was going to look awful. It was going to be the ugliest thing you've ever seen. And it was always do-it-yourself, DIY. These days, you don't have to compromise. The houses that we design, we generally describe as Teslas, because they not only are net zero energy houses, but they're super sexy and functional all in one. So I would say this is something for everyone, and it can be beautiful and functional.